Luke 24 is a wonderful chapter in the Bible. It talks about the resurrection of Christ. It starts out with women going to the tomb early in the morning with spices to anoint the body. And they were worried about who was going to move the stone, but when they got there, the stone that covered the mouth of the tomb was already moved, and they met some angels. And the angel said to the ladies that came, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" You know, you can go to Buddha's tomb tonight and you'll find the bones of Buddha. You can go to Muhammad's tomb tonight and you'll find the bones of Muhammad. You can go to the tomb of every other founder of every other religion and you can find their bones in the tomb. But you will not find the bones or the body of the founder of the Christian religion, our Savior Jesus Christ, in no tomb. The angel said, "He's not here. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Don't you remember what he told you? Don't you remember how he taught you? He's done exactly what he said he would do." In Luke chapter 24, we also meet two disciples that were on their way to Emmaus. They're talking. They're sad. Jesus sees them. They don't know it's Jesus. And he comes up to them and says, why are you so sad? And they said to him, "Well, you must be a stranger. You haven't heard what's gone on the last few days." And Jesus said, "Well, what has gone on?" And they told him. He said, "Well, Jesus of Nazareth, he's a prophet and mighty in deed and word. And the chief priest delivered him up to the Romans, and he was condemned and crucified. We thought he was the Messiah. We thought he was the one that would deliver Israel. And it's the third day since he's been crucified, and some of the ladies in our group went to the grave, and they saw angels. And the angel said that he was alive. And Jesus said to them, 'O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?'" And the Bible said that he took the scriptures and he opened to them the scriptures and he let them see that this one called Jesus, now he's talking about himself, but they still didn't know yet, that this one called Jesus fulfilled all the prophecy that's in the Bible about him. They came to Emmaus and Jesus made like he was going to go on further and they said, "No, why don't you stay and eat with us?" And so they went into the room and as he broke bread, their eyes were opened and they recognized that it was their master. They recognized that it was Jesus. And they said, "Our hearts burned within us as he opened up the scriptures." The verses we read tell us what happened next. That same hour, these two disciples went back to Jerusalem. They found the 11 apostles. Judas was already gone, probably already hung himself. He had hung himself by this time. But they found the 11 apostles gathered together with others that were part of their group. And when they came into the room, the group that was there said, "The Lord's risen. Simon Peter has seen him." And the two that just got back from Emmaus said, "Hey, we've seen him too. He traveled with us to the city. He opened the scriptures and showed us how he fulfilled all the prophecy. And we know that he's alive as well." And the Bible says that as those two disciples spoke, that Jesus stood in the midst of the room. Now, they were afraid. They thought it was a spirit. They thought it was a ghost. And Jesus said, "Hey, peace be unto you. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. In fact, why are you troubled? Why are you afraid? Hey, here's my hands. Here's my feet. Come and handle me. Come and touch me. A ghost or a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones like I do. So here I am. Come and look at me. Come and touch me." And I'm sure he held out his hands. And they could see in his hands the scars that were left from the nails that were driven through his hands to hold him through to the cross. And I think they were scars at that point. They weren't open wounds anymore, but they were scars that came on the wounds that were in his hand. There was a scar on his feet where the nail went through his feet to hold him to the cross. There was a scar on his side where the Roman soldier poked a spear in his side after he died. And so he had scars on his hands, on his feet, probably on his face where they beat him, probably on his head where they stuck the crown of thorns, on his side, all over his body, on his back where they whipped him. And those scars were a reminder of the wounds that he received on the cross for us. I read the verse this morning. I'll read it again tonight. Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I heard a preacher say one time that the only man-made things in heaven, the only things in heaven that are going to be there that are man-made are the scars on the Lamb of God, are the scars on our Savior. And it's going to be a reminder to all of us for all eternity how much Jesus loved us. As we see the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, Revelation, the book of Revelation talks about it. As we look at the scars on his body, as we see his hands, as we see his feet, as we see his head, as we see his back, as we see his side, we're going to be reminded how much God loved us. We're going to be reminded about how much Jesus loved us. He loved us enough to willingly let himself be crucified. He said, I could have called 10,000 angels. I had enough power, I could have defeated the whole Roman army. If I didn't want to be crucified, there was no way I hung on the cross. But that's why I came. I came to go to the cross. I love you. And I loved you enough to take the nails, to take the crown of thorns, to take the spear, to take the jeers, to take the taunts of the crowd, to take my Father turning his back on me for the first time in all eternity. I loved you enough to take your hell for you and pay the price that you owe. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we could be forgiven and have peace with God. And if you're here tonight and have never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I want you to get in your mind a picture of him with the scars that fill his body. Every one of those places on his body where a scar is a reminder to you that he loved you. Every one of those scars on his body is his way of saying, I paid for your sin. I paid the price that you owe. I became your substitute. I became the sacrifice. As I think one of the men prayed this morning, I think it was Brother Brian, said, hey, we had lambs and we had bulls, and that blood did the job for a long, long time. But when it came to the price that needed to be paid for our sins, the blood of bulls wouldn't do any good, and the blood of goats wouldn't do any good. It took the perfect Lamb of God. John the Baptist pointed him out and said, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And every one of those scars is a reminder. And I wish, if you're here tonight and you've never received Christ, I wish I could show you his body tonight. I wish I could show you the scars in that body. Every one of them is a reminder to all of us how much he loved us and the price that was paid for our sin. You see, I'm a Christian tonight. It didn't cost me nothing. If you're a Christian tonight, it didn't cost you nothing. It was a gift. But it was a gift that had a high price. It was a gift that Jesus paid for on Calvary. It was a gift that God the Father paid for when he sent his Son to die in our place. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And if you're here tonight and you've never received Christ, I invite you to receive him. Receive him. How can you turn away that kind of love? How can you turn away that kind of sacrifice? I don't know how people that reject Christ can do it. I just don't know how. If you're here tonight, I don't know how you can do it. You need to come to Christ tonight. Scars. They're a reminder of past wounds. I have 3 points I want to make tonight, and I want to make them from a physical standpoint, and then I want to make an application. So here's my 3 things about wounds and scars. The title of my message is Scars Are Better Than Wounds. Scars are better than wounds. So 3 things. Number one, wounds hurt. Scars, for the most part, don't. I know some of you may have scars that get a pain every now and again in that spot. But for the most part, open wounds still hurt. Scars don't. An open wound is an indication that your body hasn't healed yet. Still an open place where something has penetrated your body and made that wound. And if you're not careful how you treat that wound, it will cause you further pain. I mean, if you bump up against it, if you scrape it against something, if somebody accidentally touches you where you have an open wound, it's going to hurt. It's still going to hurt. But a scar is a wound that's healed. Your body has grown back together. Maybe it had help. Maybe they put a staple in it. Maybe they put tape on it. Maybe they put a stitch or two in it. But it has closed up and has become a scar. And again, for the most part, wounds still hurt, but scars don't. Second thing, wounds can get worse. For the most part, scars don't. If you don't properly take care of a wound, it can get infected. It can get infected with all sorts of bad stuff that can happen not only at the site of that wound, but around the site of that wound and through your whole body. We have a man in our church that recently had surgery, and we were talking the other day, and he was telling me, he said, my wound is still open, and I have to dress it and pack it. My wife has to dress it and pack it a couple times a day. He says, and they told me I needed to be very careful because if I'm not careful in dressing that wound, then I'll get all sorts of infection in it, and it'll be bad. That's what they told me. It'll be bad. Now, for the most part, you don't have to worry about infection with a scar because the wound is closed. Your body's not open. And so there's little chance of germs getting into a scar and making you feel worse. So wounds hurt, scars don't. Wounds can get worse, scars don't. A scar, for the most part, is usually stronger than a wound. If you're not careful, a wound can get bigger because it's a weak place in your body. But a scar grows tough and hard. In fact, in many cases, where you have a scar, it's harder than it was when you had your original body part or skin in that particular spot. In fact, some of the problems that people have with second and third surgeries is they have to go through scar tissue, and it's so tough that it makes the surgeon have to work hard to either go around it or to get through it. And so for those 3 reasons, I've come to the conclusion that I share with you tonight that scars are better than wounds. Wounds hurt, scars don't. Wounds can get worse. For the most part, scars can't get worse. And a scar is usually stronger than a wound. So I've come to the conclusion, as I've thought about this, that scars are better than wounds. Now, let me make an application tonight. And again, this is a real simple message. Sometimes we are hurt by others in our life. And sometimes we get an emotional wound. Somebody does something to hurt us. Somebody does something that's unkind to us. Or they say something unkind to us. Or they tell a falsehood. They tell a falsehood about us. Or they cheat us. Or they don't stand with us when we need them. So many times, an emotional hurt comes when you need your friend to stand with you and for you, and they don't. And in many cases, an emotional hurt is worse than a physical hurt. I mean, a wound can be caused if somebody takes a knife and sticks it into your body. Now, that would hurt. But many times when somebody takes an unkind word or an unkind deed, or they lie about us, or they don't stand with us, the hurt that we get from that emotional wound is worse than a physical wound. Now, again, that wound that somebody else gave you may have been unintentional or intentional. But when it comes to whether it hurts or not, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they didn't mean to do it, they just did it because that's the kind of person they are and they don't think about what they say before they say it, or if they intended to hurt us, that emotional wound many, many times is just as bad as a physical wound. Now, tonight, I'm going to tell you, again, in a real practical way, how you can turn that emotional wound into a scar. A scar, from an emotional standpoint, is better than a wound. Because just like in the physical sense, in an emotional stand, from an emotional perspective, a wound hurts, a scar doesn't. Just like in a physical sense, wounds can get worse, scars don't. The same thing is true with an emotional hurt. And just like scars are stronger than wounds in a physical sense, so they are in an emotional sense, from an emotional perspective. And so we need to take our emotional wounds and turn them into scars. We need to do those things necessary where the people have hurt us, where people have done things that have hurt us, have wounded us, and we smart from those things, and we have wounds from those things. We need to turn those wounds into scars. So here's my message. I'm going to give you three ways to do that. Number one, get everything out of the wound that doesn't belong there. So if you have a physical wound, I mean, if somebody has stuck you with a knife, the first thing you need to do is, well, and again, I've heard doctors say, don't pull the knife out until you get to the hospital because you don't know what might come out after you pull the knife out. But once you get under proper care, the first thing you need to do is get the knife out. You need to get out what caused the wound. And then you need, and if it was a piece of glass or if it was a piece of steel or whatever caused the wound, you need to get it out. Then you need to get the dirt out. You need to wash it out. My mom always had a big bottle of peroxide in the medicine cabinet. My brothers and I were prone to getting wounds. And whenever we got a wound, we would come in the house, she would take that bottle. Now, I know some of my friends said, yeah, my mom uses peroxide. She fills the cap up and then she pours the cap on the wound. Well, my mom didn't do that. She just took the bottle and poured the bottle on the wound. How many of you have ever had somebody or you yourself have used peroxide? Raise your hand. All right, so you know what I'm talking about. You pour that stuff in, and then that pus starts to come out, and it burns. And then my mom would wipe it off, and she'd pour it in again. Then she'd wipe it off and pour it in again. She did it 5 or 6 times because she said, we got to get all the germs out of there. We got to get all the dirt out of there. We got to get all the things that are there that don't belong there. We got to get them out or else you're going to get infected and it's going to be worse. The same is true for an emotional wound. We need to get everything out that doesn't belong in a healthy body. Now, Ephesians 4:31 gives us an idea of what some of those things are that often result from an emotional wound. It says in that verse, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And so you have an emotional wound. And these things are like little germs that are going to go rushing to the wound to try to hurt you more. There's that little germ of bitterness that says, hey, here's an open hurt. Let's get right to that spot and inflict more damage. Here's a little germ called wrath, called anger. Oh, hey, you need to be angry. You need to be angry at that one that hurt you, that said something about you, that lied about you. You need to be angry. And that little germ of anger runs toward that wound to make it worse. That little germ of speaking evil of them. Well, if they spoke evil of me, I'm going to speak evil of them. And that little germ of revenge comes running to the womb. Now, again, all these little germs are under the control of Satan. I mean, he's the one that sends them. And all those little germs come to that wound and say, hey, they hurt you. You need to hurt them. So in order to turn that wound into a scar, we need to get rid of all the germs. We need to get rid of all those things that come running to the wound when we get that emotional wound, and we need to get rid of them so the wound can turn into to a scar. How do you get rid of them? Well, that verse tells us, put away from you. What the Apostle Paul says, when you have a wound, and these little germs of bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking and malice come, just put them away from you. Now, I'm going to let these candy bars tonight represent those germs. This is the germ of bitterness. Put it away from you. That's what the Bible says. Put it away from you. First one gets it after the service. This is the germ of wrath. The germ of wrath. Again, it's going to run to that open wound. The Bible says, put it away from you. Just put it away from you. And by the way, don't go pick it up. Now, you can pick up the candy bar, but don't pick up the germ. Okay? Here is the germ of evil speaking. Oh, somebody said something evil about me. I'm going to say something evil about them. And the Bible says, just put it away from you. That's what it says. Here's the germ of hatred, of malice. It's going to run to that wound, try to make that wound worse. Put it away from you. That's what the Bible says. In order for that wound to turn into a scar, you got to get out everything that doesn't belong there. Number two, you got to put some balm on it. You got to put something on it that'll help you heal. Salve, lotion. My mother's favorite was methylate. And some of you are shaking your head. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, that bottle has a little dipper in there. I always thought you were supposed to take that dipper, dip it in the methylate, and sort of, you know, gently brush it on the wound. Well, again, my mom believed in an ounce of prevention was worth a lot. So she would just take the bottle and pour it into the wound. We'd always say, blow, Mom, blow, because it burned when she poured it in there. And she blew a little bit, but not much, because it still burned. And we need to do the same thing with emotional wounds. We need to get everything out that doesn't belong there, and then we need to put the things in that wounds that can help them heal. Now again, Ephesians 4:32 is a pretty good medicine chest, where it says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know how to get rid of those germs of bitterness? You know how to get rid of those germs of wrath? You know how to get rid of those germs of anger? You know how to get rid of those germs of evil speaking? You know how to get rid of those germs of malice? Kindness, forgiveness, tenderheartedness. Just the same thing that God gave us. And then number three, how to turn wounds into scars. Don't pick at it. Don't pick at it. If you keep picking at a wound, it will not heal. You'll just, and I can't tell you how many times I've heard my mother say to me and my brothers, quit picking at that. Don't pick at it. If you pick at it, it's not ever going to get well. If you pick at it, you're going to keep opening it up, and it's never going to heal. And you say, how do you pick at an emotional wound? You keep reliving it. You keep going back in your mind, and you remember what happened. You keep going back in your heart and your soul and say, I'll never forget what that person did to me. I'll never forget what they said. I'll never forget the way they said it. And they never get over the hurt. They never get over the bitterness. They never get over the disappointment because they just keep picking at that wound, and it never has a chance to close up. And again, as long as it's open, infection's going to come. I mean, that bitterness is going to come. That wrath is going to come. And so just let it heal. Let it heal. Let it close up. Let it become a scar. Because wounds hurt. Scars don't. Somebody, I've talked to people down through the years, and they've said something like this, preacher, you'll never ever believe what this person did to me. And I've had some of them tell me. Some of them have said, I won't tell you, I just can't tell you. But you'll never believe what they did to me. And I always ask them, how long ago did it happen? I had one lady tell me one time, it happened 35 years ago. 35 years, somebody said something to her that cut her deeply. And the wound was still open. I said, ma'am, is the person that did that to you still alive? She said, no, she died about 5 years ago. I said, then why can't you just forget it? I hear bitterness in your voice. I mean, how do you expect the wound to heal if you don't forget? I mean, she's dead. I mean, if you wanted revenge, God worked revenge. I mean, he took her life. Why can't you just let that wound close up and go on living your life without that wound still being open? And too many people carry around wounds that by this time should be scars. They're still wounds because they still relive the hurt. They still relive the disappointment. They still relive the thing that was done to them that wounded them emotionally, and all the germs that we talked about come running to that site, and they want to infect that site on your body, and it's not just that site, it's the whole body. And so why don't we get out everything that shouldn't be there? Why don't we take the Word of God, the balm that's in the Word of God, to help that wound heal, and why don't we quit picking at it? Why don't we forget it? Why don't we forgive and forget, just like God forgave and forget our sin? Wounds are, or scars are better than wounds. They don't hurt as much, and they can't get worse, and they're tougher. You see, if you turn an emotional hurt into a scar, it'll be tougher to hurt you the next time because you got a scar. You know how to handle it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Luke 24. Thank you for the resurrection of our Savior. Without that resurrection, our salvation would be in vain. But we have a risen Lord who defeated death, who defeated sin, and is able to offer to each of us the gift of life. And again, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that's never received Christ, they would see their sin, they would see the penalty for that sin, they would see the price that Jesus paid for it on Calvary, and they would come tonight and ask Jesus to be their Savior. And I pray for the many Christians that are here. I pray that if we're still carrying emotional wounds around, that we do our best to turn them into scars. We get everything out that doesn't belong there. We take the balm that's in your word and apply it to that wound, and we quit picking at it, and we let that wound become a scar. Father, bless the invitation. Speak to our hearts. You know our hearts. You know what we need to do. Help us to do it tonight. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.